And welcome into In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. Nick McNamara in studio, Dave Lewis on the other side of the glass. I'm in for Brandon Peoples today. He's off in Kansas City having some good fun times. We'll close the show, so for some programming notes, we'll close the show with an interview with Dr. Bill Clifford. He's an ophthalmologist running for the congressional seat in the big first district here in Kansas. And then after that, before that, we'll speak a little bit with some folks from Flint Hills Christian School. But before that, here in studio, well, not in studio, but I can see you in studio at the very least, are some folks from Ascension Via Christi Hospital. We have President and CEO Bob Koppel, as well as a few nurses that I'll introduce after Bob. Bob, thanks for stopping by.
You bet. Thanks for having us on this morning, Nick.
Of course. And then also speaking with us a little later, we'll talk about with some nurses who went out of the immediate area to help out with the COVID-19 responses in different places. We have Jessica Wolf, an RN. Jessica, thanks for coming.
Thank you.
We have Brooklyn Stoddard, a CNA. Thanks.
Thank you for having me.
And Annette Conroe. You're the unit director, I believe, as well.
Yes, that's right.
All right. And thank you all for being here. And first off, I think it's good to start off talking a little bit about numbers. Bob, I know we talked briefly via email about a potential for some new case positives that we were going to see today. Do you have any more information on that?
So we are starting to see some increases in the number of positive cases, not only in Riley County, but in a number of our surrounding counties. So I think today, you know, because there's kind of everybody goes through a reporting process, the health departments do. And so you'll see additional positives in Pottawatomie, Gary, Riley, and Clay counties.
Okay, and do you anticipate those being released a little later today? And branching off of that as well, is that sort of just a product of increased testing capacity? I saw a report that Kansas now has the capability to test 2% of its population every month.
You know, I saw that same report. I don't know that we've seen that in actuality just yet. So locally, we have started to see an improvement in the lab test turnarounds depending upon which of the labs they're going to. And so, for example, like from the hospital here, we send all of ours to RML in Tulsa, and we're typically less than 48-hour turnaround. For some of the commercial labs, it's kind of that same time frame. There's some of the other commercial labs at 7 or 8 days still. With KDHE, the testing, like from the that the health department would do, or some of the physician offices that might get sent to KDHE, that my understanding is also still running in that about 2-day time frame. So that's actually fairly quick.
Yeah, that's
as far as the positives, certainly the testing capabilities is important, but the reason we're seeing the positives that we have positives, we do attribute that just to more people moving around and being out in the public. And, you know, I think personal observation, we've talked about this a lot in the community, it's just so important that people take seriously the need to do hand hygiene, to social distance, and to wear a mask. And we do not see that necessarily consistently in our community, which is troublesome.
Yeah, it's definitely good to see that speed up and turnaround on testing from where things started off in the beginning of the pandemic. It has been a few days pause. We haven't seen any new numbers just yet, though that you indicated there may be some new positives. But we have seen a bit of a pause in positive cases here in Riley County. But we've also seen a couple deaths in the area, too. Can you talk a little bit about sort of what maybe any additional information on those cases and that you can provide?
Well, so this week, actually, there has been an increase in positives in Riley County since last Friday. There's actually been several. We have also had two deaths of Riley County residents. One of them died at a facility outside of Riley County, but that still counts at their place of residence. And then we had a death this week here at our facility. You know, both of these patients did have COVID. Both of them, you know, everybody tends to have other healthcare issues, and COVID definitely exacerbates that to the extreme for some people. And there are, you know, as we've seen now, you know, two deaths this week in our county, certainly some outcomes that we would not want for people. So it's, I mean, again, it gets back to, it's kind of interesting to me that there are people who don't really seem to think that this is a significant health issue, and it is. We just really have to be cognizant of that. And it's also fairly easy to protect yourself and your family if you just practice good hygiene.
And I know you mentioned the topic of masks, and that's something that's increased capacity-wise in the area too. When things first started, it started to get a little tough to acquire a mask. I remember not being able to find them myself, but now I see them at just convenience stores or even gas stations. And I'm also you also partnered with or at least Riley County did partnered with Westview Community Church to do some of those distributions too. Do you know if that's still going on as well for folks who may not have a mask currently?
So there's actually a couple of sources. One for the cloth mask. So Westview is transitioning, I believe, actually this week, and our local Comsey United Way is going to become the kind of the depot, if you will, for cloth masks for the public. The chamber still has several hundred, actually, like surgical masks for business owners that have been donated by some local groups or individuals. And then kind of, you know, your observation that things are starting to become more available, we are also seeing that from a supply chain perspective for healthcare, that things are starting to catch up a little bit. There are still some articles of PPE that are very difficult to get, but the surgical masks are a good example of they're still not as available as we would like them to be, but they're starting, you can, you know, buy them now at Hy-Vee or something. There's definitely a different price point. If you were to have gone and bought a surgical mask, 6 months ago, it might have cost 5 cents. And now some of them are being, I've seen them sold for up to $1.50 a piece. So there's definitely a cost difference in what's currently available. But, you know, again, it's like everything else, as supply increases and demand kind of levels, then we'll see the prices go back down.
And I'm curious a little bit about what's been going on, sort of what the situation's been like at the hospital. You mentioned availability of masks has improved for hospital workers too, but how are you supply-wise out there?
You know, again, we've had success with that. And the quantities we use are just very different than most other organizations or people. Just the plain surgical masks, for example, we will use 12 to 15,000 of those a month.
Okay.
So that's different than, you know, somebody else who might use a packet of 20 or 40 or 50 a month. We also use a variety of different kinds of masks. And so depending on the area, the type of patient, what kind of procedure it is, then they're going to use a different kind of mask anyway. And we're talking here before we went on the air, depending on what you're doing, you might be having a mask on for this, you're going to change to different masks to do this, and then you're going to change back to a different kind of mask to do the next task. And so you can actually use different kinds throughout the day as well.
And we were talking a little earlier, we've seen a little bit of an increase in positives as well as two deaths, but how does that sort of impact operations at the hospital now? Are you changing anything now that you're seeing a little bit of an increase, or are you just, you already have a lot of precautions in place though?
Well, so we have a lot of precautions in place. This has been a good week to remind everybody of why we're doing that and to make sure that we're very consistent in that. Because we have patients in the hospital today who are positive. We have patients in the hospital today who are what we call PYs, or persons under investigation. So they've been swabbed and now we're just waiting for that lab test to get back. Especially our clinical staff, the antennas are kind of always up. It's actually getting a little tiresome, and it's certainly stressful for people not knowing from patient to patient, who might be asymptomatic and be positive, and we just don't know that or don't really have a reason to even consider that they're positive. You know, it's one of the reasons, well over a month now, we do pre-procedure testing on all patients. So if you're having outpatient surgery, if it's a scheduled cath lab procedure, if you're having a GI scope, everybody is getting swabbed prior to that procedure so that we'll know, at least for the window between your swab and your procedure, if we can keep people home and isolate at that point, we know that they should be COVID-free as they go into the OR or into that suite to have their GI procedure done, the colonoscopy or whatever. And I think, you know, a lot of people are like, well, why are we doing that? That's really inconvenient, et cetera. And the reality is especially if you have any kind of anesthesia and you're positive COVID, you tend to have complications after surgery. And some of those complications are not good complications. Actually, no complication is a good complication, but so it's just really important. You know, we're taking a lot of those kinds of steps. And, you know, it's kind of interesting, for the most part, I think patients are pretty understanding of that because they understand this is all about their safety. And it's also about the safety of our team. We've got to keep our healthcare workers healthy so that they're able to take care of patients. You know, you kind of asked earlier about, you know, it's kind of that everybody always worries about our capacity and do we have enough equipment or whatever. Our shortage will always be healthcare workers first. It won't be the number of ventilators. I mean, we can get stuff here. The equipment's not the issue. It's the people to actually provide the care. That is always going to be our challenge. This hospital or any other for that matter, but specifically here, and we can speak to that very clearly. You know, it's keeping your staff healthy. That is the big difference. That's why the community being very cognizant about social distancing, wearing their masks, doing their hand hygiene. I know I sound like a broken record, but that really is how we keep our workforce in place.
And it's all important topics, definitely. So it's very important stuff to keep in mind. And you know, our nurses here are waiting very, very patiently to speak. And I'm sorry, I'm going to make you wait a little longer until after the break. But I really want to talk. Well, they'll get a chance, but I'll be nice after the break. But I just wanted to ask, we're going to head off to a break shortly. I know you have a little bit different procedure visitation-wise as well there.
So we, I think it's March 28th, we went back to allowing one visitor per patient per stay. And that's a key distinction. So whoever you pick to be your visitor, if you're going to come into the hospital, you really need to like them, because they're the only person that they're going to be able to come in and see you for the next 3 or 4 days if you're in the hospital. And that's true for OB, it's true for up on the medical surgical floor, ICU. We do make some exceptions at when we have end of life situations, where we try to accommodate more direct family, if that's at all possible. Again, it always kind of depends on the patient's condition. But so that we think it's important for people to have that contact and that social connection. But we also do that knowing that we're inviting risk into the organization and to the rest of the patients and to our staff. So if we have 40 patients today with 40 visitors, that's 40 extra people in the building who, again, might be asymptomatic but still positive with COVID. And so it's kind of important trade-off to make. We're very trying to be very diligent about that. We screen people when they come in the doors. We, you know, go through the screening questions. Everybody is asked to wear a mask while they're here in our building or anytime they're around any of our staff. And it's just, again, trying to be very, very careful, trying to teach people about hand hygiene while they're here, because we think that's important too. And I think it's just so important that we have that consistent messaging across the community of this is what it's going to take to get us successfully through COVID.
And it's about time for our first break. When we come back, we'll speak with Jessica Wolf, Brooklyn Stoddard, Annette Conroe, about some things they've been doing helping out in the COVID-19 response. You're listening to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN.